Father, I thank you, Lord. We love you this morning. We give you praise and give you glory. We thank you for the Holy Spirit and thank you for the scriptures. Hallelujah. We give you, Lord, the praise as we have guidance through your word all the time. And as always today, as we declare the message of the Lord, we also declare that the entrance of your word brings light and gives understanding to the simple. We pray, Lord, and that light will shine our hearts today to give us understanding. Glory to God. Thank you, Father. We give you, Lord, the praise and give you, Lord, the glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I wanted to share this today. There's a question asked of me yesterday in the room. After some thinking about it, I thought, well, you know, we need to talk about this a little bit. I don't know if what they were asking, but it triggered something in my mind. Praise the Lord. So I want to deal on this topic of, kindness and sound judgment in helping others. And what does the Bible say, about helping others and what's our responsibility one toward another, that kind of thing. Now let's just talk about it. We thank God that there's instructions, guidance, and the scriptures for just about anything. As I often say, if you have a question and the Bible doesn't have an answer, well, it's not a question that you need to ask. praise God. If there's no answer in the Bible for something you want to know, and you don't want to know, and you don't need to know. So I believe the Lord is giving us in this Bible enough information to guide us through life on any and every subject. Praise the Lord. So today I want to talk about the composition and the complexity that we have in the body of Christ. First of all, let's remember that, in the body, just like a human body, we do not have one member. We have many members. And Paul the Apostle, he spent, quite a bit of time, writing about this subject. Wrote about it in 1 Corinthians 12, wrote about it in Romans 12. The fact that the body comprises of many members and that it's not just one member, but it's many. And the members by themselves cannot stand alone, So we look at our human body, right? And we see that we do have the different parts of the body and different things that God has put together. The Bible says, God has tempered the body together. For as we have many members in one body and all members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ and every one members one of another. Members one of another. That's what it says in Romans chapter 12. But in 1 Corinthians 12, Paul actually gave quite a bit more, went in depth more into this subject of, the body, the members, and so forth. For as the body is one, he says in 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 12, and hath many members, and all members of that one body being many are one member, one body, sorry, so also is Christ. So Paul is using the concept of the body, physical body, to explain something spiritual. For by one spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, or be made to drink into one spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. Now that means you, as a member of the body of Christ, you are not, you know, you cannot exist in isolation. Just like any member, any part of our body cannot exist in isolation. In fact, you know, the brain, you know, that controls just about everything. You know, it's great, but if you take the brain out of the head and put it on the table, it's just an ugly looking thing and it can't do anything. You know, so it needs to be where it is, where God put it, and it needs to function along with everything else. You know, I mean, everything that God has put in the body, you can't, it cannot be in isolation. The eyes, I mean, you know, they're so powerful. You know, the Bible says the eye is the light of the body. But if you pluck the eye out and put it on the table, it's of no good. It only is good when it functions in the place we're going to put it in the body, you know, as part of the body ministry together. You know, so look at all the things that Paul said. He said, if the foot, this is verse 15, 1 Corinthians 12, if the foot shall say, because I'm not the hand, and I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? I mean, can the foot say that and get away with it? Say, I'm not of the body because I'm not the hand. You can't do that. You know, you got to function within the body. And, you know, what if the ear shall say, well, because I'm not the eye, therefore I'm not of the body. Is it therefore not of the body? You know, and if the whole body were an eye, well, where were the hearing? You know, and if the whole body were the hearing, where were the smelling and so on? Now, God has set the members, every one of them in the body as it pleased him. Still talking about the physical body now. You know, so, but he's using that physical body to explain. And if they were all one member, then where were the body? So really, you know, we cannot, you know, like an island or something out in the desert by itself. We can't dwell in isolation. We must, I mean, we are a community, the body of Christ, a community, and we must function as a community. That also brings to mind the role of the local church and the local communities. Now, the global church, of course, we know we have, you know, globally the body of Christ, but it makes even more sense when we have local communities, you know, because they can be woven more closely together. You know, it's kind of like even a family unit. For those of you that live in the same house, let's say father and mother raising kids and so forth, you know, some of the kids even sleep in the same room at first, you know, until they get bigger. You know, they are more closely knit together when they are in close proximity like that. You know, now, you know, some families have very strong family ties that even when the children are grown and they move away, even to out of the state, out of the city, out of the country even, they still have ties. But it's not going to be like when you are closely knit together. I mean, so even natural things teach us these things. And that's why we have local churches, local communities. You know, we can be more closely knit together on a platform like this, you know. We're all over the place. Some of us in Arizona, some around this country, some in UK, some in Nigeria, some in Canada, and different places. It's not exactly, you know, like a local community, but there is a model that God has given us from that body, the physical body, you know, and we can begin to understand how God wants us to function. Now, if one day the eye says to the hand, I have no need of you. Well, can he really say that? And will that be correct? Or, you know, if the head shall say to the feet, I have no need of you, then what is it going to be? Well, you can't say that. Of course you have need. You know, and I've mentioned this once or twice before, a parable that the Lord taught me about this thing one day. And he said, well, this whole body thing is like someone that is in the shower, you know, and the hand suddenly says to the feet while they are in the shower that, look, you're always just standing there. I'm the one that does all the work. You know, I grab the sponge, I grab the soap, I turn on the faucet or the shower tap or whatever. I do all these things. Even when we're done, I grab the towel. I'm the one that does everything. You're just standing there. You don't do anything. That's what the hand says to the feet. Today, you got to pull your own weight. And if you don't do anything, well, you're not getting a scrub down. That's what the hand says to the feet or the hands. So that day refuses, the hands refuse to give the feet a scrub down. Because they say the feet just always standing there, doesn't do anything. All right? So, finish everything, wash every part of the body except the feet, because there's this, you know, discord between them right now. Feet doesn't say anything, stands there, doesn't do anything. Oh, standing in the shower. Just like the feet, just like the hands accused him. So when they finish, you know, then the feet remove. Just stay there. Say, well, you say I'm only standing here. Well, I'm just going to stand here. So I'm not leaving. I'm not going anywhere. I'm just going to stand right here because after all, that's what you said I always do. I just stand here. I do nothing. Okay. So feet stand right there. They do nothing. Well, 5 minutes pass, 10 minutes pass, they do nothing. And so now that person is going to be late for work or late for whatever it is they're going to because of this bickering between the hands and the feet. And he said, well, since you said I don't do anything and I'm always only standing here, and since you scrubbed everybody else and not me, and you said, well, I don't do anything. Well, I'm just going to stand here. So it was a parable. And the Lord told it to me like that. I was visualizing it. I'm like, oh my goodness. Then I begin to think of so many things. See, how the body should function. You can't say, your hand can't say to the feet. You're just always standing there. Well, the feet is going to show the hand that who's going to take us out of this shower today. I'm not going anywhere. And you see, you can get the gist of it. I can see how the body must function together. Now, we're still talking about the physical body. We're not even talking about spiritual things yet. We got to understand, you know, the natural things before we can even understand spiritual things. I mean, Jesus, our Lord Jesus, in all his wisdom, most of his lessons that he preached, even though he taught deep spiritual concepts, he always used natural words, natural things, simplicity. He would talk about bread, stone, egg, scorpion, fish, house, rain, foundation, all these things. I mean, corn of wheat. And he would just always use simple, everyday words that everybody understands, even though he's bringing out some deep spiritual concepts. So, in the same way, this lesson that we're going to talk about today can be deep. But first, I just want to talk about it in a simple way that all of us can understand. Just using the body, you know, to get it. So, I want to ask you a question. The spiritual things and the natural things. Which one comes first? Well, in case you are wondering, you know, just like one time I asked the people, you know, I said, well, what comes first, the chicken or the egg? And some people say egg, some people say chicken, some people say chicken, some people say egg. I said, cool. You know, I was on a different subject. So today, I ask you, which comes first, the natural or the spiritual? Don't verbalize it. You can type it in the chat room. Just type in the chat room so I can continue preaching here. Now, which one comes first? Is it the natural or is it the spiritual things? What comes first? Look at Genesis. Or look at scriptures. Which one comes first? Well, let me give you a hint. In the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 46. In the whole chapter of 1 Corinthians 15, Paul's talking about some amazing deep things. Resurrection, life after death, and so forth, after physical death. But he throws down this amazing lesson here and says, first comes that which is natural. You know? And after that, that which was spiritual. Well, let's think about it. Adam, the natural man, came first. Then comes Christ. Second Adam was more spiritual in bringing things, you know, together. You know, so the answer to my question is, according to the scriptures, the natural comes first. Let's read it. 1 Corinthians 15 and 46. Howbeit, let me read it from the, there is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. So, it's a natural body and there's a spiritual body. As it is written, that first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Howbeit, that was not first, which is spiritual. The spiritual man didn't come first. But that which is natural. And then afterward came the spiritual. So, you know, the scripture clearly says it. So there's no debate. So that's why, you know, we need to use natural things at times to understand, you know, the spiritual things of God. So today, I'm talking a little bit about natural body. It is because I'm going to talk more about the spiritual as well. So we have to use the natural to understand it. Now, having laid that foundation, let me go into some things that the Bible says about we as the body of Christ. What we can and must do to help one another, and what everyone's responsibilities are. So, right? So let's check it out. Now, there is a good contrast that I will bring later on, but let's get into it. First of all, let's see how the hands must help the feet, and how the feet must help the hand. Just like the parable I told you of the body in the shower. So, in the scriptures, in the book of Galatians chapter 6, you know, Paul brings out this lesson and says, you know, that it is important for us as the body of Christ to remember this. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Galatians 6, verse 2. Now, when we did the study of the book of Galatians, we talked about the law of Christ. The law of Christ is love one another, even as I have loved you, as the law of Christ. You know, so he said, well, bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Okay? Then he drops down here to verse 6 and say, well, for every man shall bear his own burden. So what's he talking about? Let's talk about the two sides. We need to bear one another's burdens, but then each person needs to pull their own weight. Otherwise, this whole thing will be lopsided. Now, I'm going to be talking today about kindness and sound judgment. So you just follow with me. I don't jump to any conclusion. I have to hear the whole lesson. I can't jump to any conclusion. Now, in this place, Paul talks about bear one another's burdens. Then he talks about each person must bear their own burden. Now, if we are to bear one another's burden, then why does each person need to bear their own burden? I mean, just sit back, do nothing, let all that do everything for you. Is that really what the scripture says? No. That's why he put both of these side by side. Help one another, but each person must also help, must also do their own part. You know, he even goes as far as saying, you know, in another place, when he was talking about this one, if you are not willing to do anything, if you are not willing to work, well, maybe you don't even should eat. And so these are concepts that we must follow in the scriptures. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and 10, Paul was talking about a personal responsibility in this place. He does talk about body responsibility, but sometimes he will also talk about personal responsibility. And I want to bring it all together. You know, he said, well, when we were with you, we commanded you that if any would not work, neither should they eat. What does that mean? Well, it means if they just want to sit down and be lazy and expect everybody else to do something for them, then Paul said, well, they should not eat then. So he said, because everybody, should, pull their own weight. Man, Paul would also actually say that, look, we did not eat any man's bread for naught. He said, look, for ye yourselves know how you ought to follow us and how we behaved. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 7. Why is he saying that? Because there are some people that were walking disorderly. What does that mean? Well, let me read it to you from verse 6. Now we command you, brethren, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw. Now, this is command you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is not a suggestion. Command you that you withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly and not after the tradition which you received of us. For ye yourselves know how we were when we were among you, how we behaved ourselves. Because we didn't eat any man's bread for naught. We're not just sitting down wanting everybody to give us offering. We wrought with labor and travail night and day, and we were not chargeable to any of you. It's not that we didn't have power. Thou shalt not muzzle the mouth of the ox that treaded the, corn and all of these things. I mean, the laborer is worthy of his hire. We have power to take these things of you, but we gave you an example that you should follow us. Now we command you, because there were a lot of, lazy people there that sat down their butt, as they say here in America, and were not doing anything. They were just looking for handout. And Paul did not like this at all. They come down with the apostolic authority and put things in line and say, look, we command you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, get away from those people. They are cankers in your midst, is basically what he's saying. Now, if any man would not walk, let him not eat. Now, would not here is because they don't want to, not because they're out of job. We're not talking about people who are out of job, but they just don't want to. If they don't want to, say, well, then maybe they shouldn't eat. Now, there are some people who genuinely want to do stuff, but they are out of work. They're looking for work. They can't find work. They're willing to do anything. They need help. They genuinely need help. But there are some that won't do anything. They just want somebody else to do it for them. And Paul is warning us here. We exhort you, he said, now to such people like that. He said, we have heard that there are some of you walking among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. They will not do something with their own hands. They're just busybodies. And we see some busybodies on this app, right? Actually, some people go from platform to platform, come up with some story in order to get, some people to give them something. and the radar would not, you know, work. And some people say, well, I don't have a job. I don't have money. I am homeless. I'm this and that. You know, in order to attract pity, that one is there. But also, you know, I want to bring both sides of this coin here. Also, remember what the scripture said, that, you know, we must help one another. We're trying to balance this. In the book of Proverbs, chapter 3, verses 27 and 28, the scripture is very clear. Somebody asks for help, and it's in your power to do it. Do not withhold it. Do not tell them to go and come again and then just be running them around in circles. When it is right there in your hand to do it, why can't you just do it already? You know, it's right there. That's one way. Jesus himself, you know, pretty much, you know, told us, you know, similar things, you know, like that, you know, that look, what is in your power of your hand to do is do it. The scriptures are, you know, full of those things. Now, I want to bring out a concept of something that Jesus spoke about, that the poor will always be in our midst. This thing was way out there from Deuteronomy chapter 15 and verse 11. You know, that's where it started. I mean, way back then, God was telling these people that, look, some of you will be well-to-do and others will be poor. Make sure you deal kindly with your brother that is in need. You know, don't just be mean to them and everything. For the poor, he said, Deuteronomy 15 and verse 11, shall never cease out of the land. Therefore, I command thee, glory to God, saying, thou shalt open thy hand wide unto thy brother and thy poor and thy needy that are in their land. You must do it. The Lord himself openeth his hand and satisfied the desire of every living thing. Now we are commanded here, open your hand wide, you know, and satisfy and help your brother. You know, and there are many, you know, there are many blessings and promises for, you know, the, liberal soul. You know, Proverbs 11 verse 25, the liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that watereth shall be watered also himself. Now he that withholdeth corn, that people shall curse him, but blessing shall be on the head of him that, you know, even sell it and so on. You know, so there are many things that the scripture talks about, you know, how to not withhold. Don't withhold good. I mean, Proverbs 3:27 is very powerful. When it's in your hand to do, the power to do it, don't withhold it. Now, this concept of the poor will always be in your midst. Jesus himself, I mean, the master, referred to this thing. He said it in John chapter 12, and he said it in Matthew 28. Let me read it to you. This story in John chapter 12 and Matthew 28 was where, you know, Jesus was in a certain place and, you know, a woman came and poured oil on his feet and all of that and was washing, wiping it with her tears and her hair. And some people were grumbling about it. And here's what Jesus said, you know, let's read John chapter 12, you know, and verse 8. We'll read what Jesus said about it. John 12 and 8. He said, look, for the poor always you have with you. And Jesus is quoting Deuteronomy chapter 15 and verse 11. You will always have the poor. There is nothing we can do about that. Now, it is our desire that we should not be poor. Paul himself said, you know, 2 Corinthians 8 and 9, for ye yourselves know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, you know, how that he traded places with us, that though he was rich, yet he became poor, so that we, through his poverty, might become rich. Well, guess what? The poor you will always have among you. There is a plan of how God planned that nobody should be poor. I'm going to talk about that. But you will always have the poor in your midst. You know, he says, so me, I'm not here all the time. So let her do whatever she wants to do. said the same thing in Matthew chapter 28:11. John captured it. Matthew also captured it. And he said, look, the poor you will always have in your midst. So you have plenty of opportunity to help the poor. And you should help the poor. Praise the Lord. So, you know, that was Jesus speaking about that. You know, and he spoke, you know, he spoke to them that, look, always you will have the poor and you must always remember that. And to show kindness to them, you know, Matthew 26, verse 11. For the poor you have always with you. Praise the Lord. So there's nothing we can't change that. It's going to always be. Now, some of the apostles, they gave instructions, you know, of how to help the poor. James, he wrote something powerful in James chapter 2, verses 15 and 16. He said, look, if there's a brother that's destitute and is in need, and he comes to you and asks you, you know, hey, and you see him, even if he didn't ask, you see. And then you go to him and then you pray for him and you spiritualize it. I pray that power of the Holy Ghost come upon you and you'll be filled with food. I pray that the Holy Ghost fire come upon you and you'll be warm in this cold. You know, James said, what is the meaning of that? And you don't give him such things as are necessary, you know, for food and warmth. He needs a blanket, some prayer. Give him a blanket already. Give him some food. That's what he needs. You know, and you can spiritualize it like that. But he said, that is faith without works. He said, it's dead. You know, when you see a brother have need, don't spiritualize it. Help them. That's what James was saying. Because if you don't help them, and you say, you just pray for them, he said, look, can your prayer, you're just praying for them, make them, you know, from being hungry, you know, to suddenly be filled? He said, no, give them food. Let's read it. James 2, in case you're saying, is this in the scripture? Well, absolutely. If a brother or a sister be naked and destitute of daily food, right? And you say unto them, oh, depart in peace, be warmed and filled. In other words, you bless them and you command that they be filled and command that they be warmed. And you just, you know, prophesy over them and so on. He said, but notwithstanding, you don't give them those things which are needful for the body. What doth it profit? So, that's a time for everything. That's a time for prayer. That's a time for action. It's a time when you just need to give the brother some food or shelter or whatever. And not just, you know. So these things are in the scriptures and we must balance this together. Now, he says, in the same way he was talking about, he was actually using that to explain faith without works. You know, many of these writers, teachers in the Bible, they use natural things, even Jesus, to explain spiritual things. Now, that being said, you know, people, we know that we ought to help one another. In fact, you know, Luke went so bold as to say in Luke chapter 6, verse 38, this scripture that people quote, because this scripture has been used and abused in so many ways. Luke 6, chapter 38, give, he said, and shall be given unto you. Well, people don't remember the give part, or the part that they should do. They just use it to talk to others. Even ministers use this scripture to defraud their congregation. You know, you see a lot of ministers who are so rich, that congregation is suffering, and they keep getting rich off the backs of their congregation because they are telling the people, give, you know. Your key to your the key to your abundance, the key to your wealth, the key to your prosperity is when you give. Well, and I often say, well, that's true, but why doesn't the preacher practice the same thing? Just practice what you preach. If you preach that we should give and that's how God's going to meet our need, then you, the preacher, should be giving to your congregation so that God can meet your needs. But will they do it or no? When they need a jet, when they need a bigger car, when they need finance, this and that, you know, and they come up with all kinds of things. Now, the ministry must be financed, you know, with money. We know that, you know, so there is no way that you can do these things, you know, that need to be done without finances. You know, and we know that. And God will raise people who will finance the ministry. It's the same thing. You know, we know that. But should we be taking advantage of people? Sometimes people take advantage of one another in different directions. That's what I'm trying to bring in. There are some people that try to take advantage of their brethren by pretending that they have a need, come up with some stories because they know, oh, you know, this, you know, Christians are gullible. You know, just come there, you tell them some nice stories and they will help you. Maybe so. And then there are some preachers that believe that their congregation is also gullible. Tell them all kinds of things, you know, tell them, use the scriptures, manipulate them so that they can give offerings. We know that too. And we need discernment in the body of Christ. Many years ago, when I was in college, I think it was my first year in the university, I went to a fellowship one day and somebody stood up and to give a testimony. And then, you know, he told this amazing story of how, you know, he had been a wicked person, an armed robber, and this and that, and so on and so forth. And he had this big fat Bible with him. Might have been I don't know if it was a Scofield Bible or something. And he had a big fat Bible anyway. And stood up to how he has been mightily converted. And, you know, now he's just sharing his faith and so forth. And he knew the right words to say, right? But it turned out, and many of us were there. Actually, that day I was wondering, you know, what kind of story is this? I didn't say anything or do anything, and I didn't think anything. I didn't have any discernment, but, you know, somehow my spirit didn't go with it. But there was a brother there that actually had discernment, and they realized it. And later on, you know, we found out that this story that this person was saying, you know, he was saying he had been going around from one fellowship to another and it was a lie, you know, and he had been saying it to curate some sympathy and so forth among the people. So when he told this amazing story of how he was converted and he had this big Bible and he said how he used to do these bad things and now he's serving the Lord and so forth, and he would appeal to their inner conscience and this and oh, and then at the end of the day, we ask for an offering, to help him to walk on the straight and narrow, so he doesn't have to go back to these old ways. And people raise an offering for him. It turned out that it was a lie. It was a lie. This was in 1975, ladies and gentlemen. People have been using these tricks, maybe 74, 75, because I remember my first year in university then, you know, and, people have been using these tricks forever. But, you know, there may be a genuine need. Now, after it was found out that this guy was lying, somebody actually exposed him. I'm not going to go into all that details. You know, that created a problem for others that had real need. Yeah, we have a proverb in my Yoruba language that says, you know, what the evil person does, you know, creates a roadblock for the person that is genuine. I mean, so this man who came to try to deceive people when he was discovered, you know, made everybody to tighten up the fist and say, no, we're not going to do that anymore. And that created a problem for those that really had need. You know, so this is where the discernment comes in. And this is where the sound judgment comes in. There must be kindness in helping others. But then, you know, what about sound judgment? Let me tell you a story that Jesus told. You know, Jesus told this story himself. And this is the master. And he told this story. Now, you know, there were many parables that Jesus told during his times of teaching. This particular one about sound judgment, he told this story in Matthew chapter 25. Now, many of you know this story, but you don't think of it as what I'm about to say now. You think of it as the story of the 10 virgins. 5 who are wise, 5 who are foolish. But I tell you something. There is more to that story than just 5 virgins wise, 5 virgins foolish. There was sound judgment in that story versus, a kind heart. Because at some point in that story, which you all know the story, at some point in that story, when all their lamps had gone out and there was a lamp trimming time, everybody knows this story. The foolish who had not taken or planned and not taken oil in their lamps, they went to the wise and they appealed to their kindness. Please share with us some of your oil, because ours have run out. Now, that's what they said. Now, in today's society, we use that to preach love and so on. Love your brother as yourself. Be kind to others. Withhold not good, just like I'm preaching here today. You know, withhold not good from them for whom it is due and all these things and so forth. But let's see what Jesus said in this story. It's a Jesus story. What did Jesus say? Let me actually read it to you in case some of you might be wondering, is that actually like that in the Bible? Well, it is. You know, so let's read it. You know, this story is found, you know, in Matthew chapter 25 and the 10 virgins. You find that story from verse 1 to about verse 13 or so. Now, but the part I want to read was, you know, when all the virgins arose in verse 7 and trimmed their lamps, then the foolish said unto the wise, please give us some of your oil because our lamps have gone out. Now, you would have thought that appealing to their kindness, appealing to the love, you know, love your brother as yourself. I mean, you have some oil, share with me. But the wise, and this is Jesus telling this story. The wise answered and said, no, not so. And then, this is the thing. It has to be sound judgment. See, lest there not be enough for you and for us. We're not going to let your lack of foresight and your planning drain me now so that I myself will not be ready. They said no. Now, in today's society, if you say no, you don't have love. If you say not so, you don't have love. But Jesus told this story. Here's Jesus telling this story. It's right here. Now, this story is not just about being ready, because we don't know the day, the hour, the Lord, the Son of Man coming. That's the purpose of this story. But inside this story, we also see this element of sound judgment. There are times when you have to say no, because otherwise they will drain you. That's what Jesus is saying here. Yet, there are many scriptures that say you got to help people. So how do you balance the thing? And that's what I want to talk to you about today. That's what this lesson's about. You know, now, if someone came to you, you know, to ask for help, well, what should you do? Well, the Bible says that if it is in the power of your hand to do it, you should do it. Well, but what if there's a history of that person doing the same, like we've seen on this Clubhouse? People go from place to place asking for things. What is a lie? You know, in Nigeria, you might say 419. You know, it's a lie. And they are just trying to, you know, bamboozle their way and collect some money and so forth. But again, the scriptures say we should help them. So how do you balance the two? Well, number one, we need discernment, but it could be spiritual discernment, but also we need sound judgment. In other words, you know, you gather all the facts, and before you make a decision. Now, if somebody had been known to be a problem like that, well, you better gather all the facts. In fact, when the scripture was talking about giving them some laws about, you know, what you should do and so forth, you know, even talking about their cattle and so on, your ox, you know, talks about if your ox should gore a man with his horns and the man should die, you know, Moses was even giving rules about that. What do you do in such a case? Well, it could be an accident. He said, well, if it's an accident, it's okay. But if it had been known in the past that that ox was used to do that and the owner has not kept him in, see, then the owner is going to be liable. Now, if it had been known in the past that this person has a practice of this, you know, walking disorderly, which is what Paul calls in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, well, then what should you do? Should we continue in the furtherance of that kind of behavior and feed to it? Or should we use sound judgment? Well, let me see, you know, what people actually did in the early church. In the book of Acts chapter 2, in the early church, Acts chapter 4, verses 34 to 35, in the early church, what did they do? They practice this principle of sharing, you know. So those people that had more, and this is the principle of how God takes care of the poor, you know, because the poor you will always have among your midst. God took care of it by those who had extra, you know, they brought it and laid it at the apostles' feet for sharing. It was a powerful thing. Now, there may be some small communities where they're doing that, but we haven't seen this, you know, in a widespread manner among the body of Christ. I mean, most of the time, it's every man for his own. Now, in the Old Testament, it was every man for his own. In fact, we have people with crazy riches that God blessed in the Old Testament. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, David, just Solomon, all of these, they were crazy with riches that God blessed them. And, you know, but in the New Testament, we don't see God focusing too much on this individual wealth, you know, like he did for those other people in the Old Testament. It's not that there are not people who are individually very wealthy, but there was no much focus on it because God actually expects us to practice this thing. And there was a pattern for it that was being practiced in the early church. Now, that means that you could be a janitor today and making minimum wage, and your kids might still, in a community, right? You can be a janitor making minimum wage. You can't send your kids to school. You can't even afford it. But your kids can still go to Ivy League school. How? Because of the community and the support. And this is how it works in the body of Christ. This is how it should work, you know, and the people can come. And these people that had, you know, possessions, they say, neither was there any among them that lacked. Acts chapter 4, verse 34. Yet there were poor in their midst. He that had gathered much had nothing left over. And he that had gathered not enough did not lack anything. This was even the principle God was teaching them when they were gathering manna. You know, if they gather too much, they share it. If they did, somebody didn't have, they, you know, and so forth. So these people that had an overage, an excess, they were willing to share. And so nobody lacked anything. It didn't matter whether they couldn't afford their school fees. They sent their children to those good schools because the community helped. And they just shared everything. Nobody said it was all mine. Well, guess what, ladies and gentlemen? We're so far removed from that. Today, it's every man for his own. And when you, if there was a community where you introduce this concept, there will be evil persons walking disorderly that will come to try to take advantage of it. There was a time when I was in Nigeria years ago, you know, there was a brother and a sister, you know, that always complained that they were not well to do. You know, so, but we found out that while they were asking for help and assistance from the church, they were buying new stereo systems in their house. I mean, like, you know, JVC, Akai, Kenwood, all these things that we used to have in Nigeria back in the day. I was like, it was something I discovered myself when I visited. But yet they were asking for help, that they didn't have money for this and that. But yet they just finished buying all these wonderful things. You know, so, you know, there's always that element that you can have, and it actually creates distrust. Whereas there shouldn't be distrust. We should be able to freely help our brethren that are in need. You know, but these bad eggs, if you will, create distrust. So how do you balance the kindness with a sound judgment? Kindness says when you see a brother be in need or destitute of daily food or whatever, or they have a need or they ask you for help, you should help them. That's what kindness dictates. On the other hand, sometimes you have to use sound judgment. You know, and I have found in my life, and many others will attest to it, there are some people when they ask you for stuff and you give them, especially if you give them generously, then they're going to ask for more. You know, I've just found that that's the case. And, you know, it's like a bottomless pit. And some of us who live overseas that have family or friends and still live in Nigeria or some other places, you know, it's kind of like, you know, well, I mean, we grow money on trees here, you know, so always asking for help and asking for this. Should you not help them? After all, some of them are your family, some of them are your brethren, some of them are your friends. Absolutely. You should help them if it's in your power or your hand to do it. However, to balance this subject out, you also have to use sound judgment and sound discretion, even in my own family. Not my core family with my wife and children, but I mean extended family with sisters, brothers, cousins, those kind of thing. This thing has happened before. When I was many years ago, when I was much younger, I had a family member, you know, that was always saying they didn't have money, yet they had a lot of money, you know, and they would keep that for something else, and they would always be asking for something else, you know. Now, I was drawn to assist until I figured that out. And then I confronted them about it. And then they couldn't answer it. You know, and then it created distrust. You see, because when somebody has done that, you know, it's like, look, the next time they come, you have distrust. Even though the Bible says we should forgive. You know, now, Jesus himself said, look, because Peter asked him a question. How many times should I forgive somebody who keeps on doing the same thing? Should I forgive them 7 times? Jesus said no. He said, well, what do you mean? He said, well, seven times is not enough. Do it 70 times, 7 times. And Peter said, 70 times, 70 times. Do you know what you are saying? That's 490 times. Jesus said, yeah. As long as they keep saying, forgive me, you know, you should forgive them. Now, we need to take that in context. Because there are also people that would take advantage of that. But remember, the Bible also says offenses must needs come. You know, but woe unto that person by whom it comes. So we got to balance these things out. You know, now, if the one tries to take advantage, well, the Bible says you should forgive me. So, okay, well, I forgive you. Then you go and do the same thing. Come again. Bible says you should forgive me. You know, but Jesus gives a warning that, look, offenses must come, right? But woe unto that man by whom it comes. Matthew chapter 18 and verse 7 and Luke chapter 17 and verse 1. So the person that's trying to take advantage of your kindness or your being a believer, the Bible says you must forgive. So they do you wrong, they come for forgiveness, you must forgive them. They do you wrong again, they come for forgiveness, you must forgive them. Jesus taught it. So those are offenses. But the Bible also says that woe unto that person that is intentionally doing that. Because now they're trying to take advantage of the fact that you are a believer and that you love the Lord. I mean, there was a time that somebody said to me, you know, I appeal to you. Paul one day said, I appeal to Caesar. Somebody offended, they wouldn't do the right thing, you know. They're like a tenant that wouldn't pay, you know, and so forth. And they just, for years, and they just run around and so forth. So one day they said, well, I beg you in the name of Jesus Christ. And the moment they said that, I mean, my heart just melted because I'm like, wow, this person has put me in a corner because now what am I going to do? You know, because I was ready to take some serious action. But now they use the name of Jesus Christ. And I say, ah, my hands are tied. I can't do anything again. You see? Now, some people will take advantage of that. Yeah, I know who you are. You know? And then they'll come to you in the name of the Lord. You know? And take advantage of you. So people might come to you because you're a brother, you're a sister. Hey, we have need. We have this and this and this. They may be genuine. And they may not be. You know? How do you offer both kindness while at the same time using sound judgment? Well, what I say to you is gather all the facts and check what it means to you. I mean, this is what the wise virgins did. Now, the reason they were wise was because of this kind of thing. It wasn't taking oil that made them wise. They were already wise. You know, it was because they were wise. They knew how to prepare for the future. And the people that were foolish, it wasn't because they didn't take oil in this one situation that made them foolish. No, they were naturally foolish. That's why they didn't take oil. You know, so look, we must be discerning. If you are wise, the scripture says the prudent man foreseeth the evil. And the simple, they go in and they are punished. They are hurt. You know, we enter into some things, some relationships sometimes without looking. Look well before, look before you leap or whatever. Some people don't look well. You know, just do something. And then they are hurt. I remember years ago, I was deeply hurt by a friend. They took advantage of me financially. You know, they came into my home. I opened up my home to them. They took advantage. They did all kinds of things. They racked up my phone bills. And I was struggling. We just came to the United States. I was struggling then. I didn't even, you know. And I brought them to my own, and I didn't know it. You know, I had long distance thing on my phone. They came in there. They just did everything. They racked, called the whole world and everything. You know, I'd never seen a bill like that in all my life when the bill came. And they were not even sorry. You know, so after I confronted them with it, they were not sorry. Well, you know, years later, they needed help in another thing, you know. So my mind was thinking of that thing, you know, so, well, they came, I brought them to my house, you know, but this time around, I said, well, okay. But then I blocked my phone service, you know, because look, you know, you have to be wise, you know, okay. So they still needed help, you know, I came back and I said, okay, fine. But remember last time, so I blocked my phone, you know, and I was not going to open myself up again. Actually, they did it again, not in the house. They did it, you know, I brought them to my office and so, you know, but, you know, the thing is that you have to protect yourself. If you don't protect yourself, you'll be vulnerable to these kind of things. Now, what about forgiveness? Well, yeah, I forgive them. You know, but, you know, I have to be prudent because the prudent man will just be simple. I mean, the simple will just go foolishly without using prudent and it will fall into many hurts. But the prudent man will foresee that this person may cause me harm. You know, if I give them my oil, I will not have enough. You know, so don't do it. You know, but if they had more than enough, well, of course they could share. But if I give you my own, then I will not have enough. See, now I've told this story before on this platform. A young lady was cajoled into giving her rent. Not when I say platform, I don't mean her Walking with God, please. I mean Clubhouse. In the early days of Clubhouse, I went somewhere and I was in a group, and then a young lady came and was telling her story of how she went to another place. I'm not talking of Walking with God. We haven't even started that then. And the people that were preaching, I mean, the ministers that were telling them to sow a seed. And we had a lot of these prophets, you know, in this Clubhouse. Come out there, prophesy something for you, and you have to pay for it. It's like an auction. I mean, it's like an auction. You know, if you want this kind of miracle, you have to give sow this kind of seed. You know, going once, going twice, going three times. You know, it's an auction. You know, an auction of the gifts of God. A building Babylon with the gifts of God. And one day I'm going to preach about that. You know, but anyway, they were doing all of that. And so this lady was there. She gave all the money she had, because they powerfully sweet talked her into it. And you know, we have all these peeping and muttering spirits, and they will tell you something, yeah, some facts out of your life, and then they use that to cajole you. Maybe they told her one or two things that appeared to be real, and then they use that to cajole a lot of people. And this young lady gave all her money that she had. She was struggling at the time, but she was so convinced that if she gave this money that she had, God was going to give her a thousandfold. I don't know where that foolishness came from, you know, but this is what they preach, you know. And they say, well, but I go, you know, when I'm in such place, I'm like, okay, if you believe that God is going to give me a thousandfold, why don't you believe that for yourself? And you get that thousandfold yourself. Don't ask me or ask anybody else. Just believe it. You know, but they won't. They rake it off the backs of the people. So this woman gave everything she had. And then she began to be in want. You know, and then she couldn't pay her rent. Then she went about to this other place, came to this other group. I was telling her story and now asking for help. It was true that she actually needed help because she had lost everything, but through foolishness. And I was like, why are we praying this kind of prayer? Why are we doing this? You need to use wisdom in your mind. And you know, sometimes when you tell people the truth, they don't want to hear it. Some people just like to you to sugarcoat things for them all the time. You know, but I call it as I see it. You know, so, you know, should you give away everything you had, even the shirt off your back, you know, for somebody else who's actually already better doing that than yourself, you know, those people didn't use wisdom and they suffered for it. You know, you must use wisdom. You must use sound judgment. You know, these things are taught in the scriptures, but we have to balance it. Praise the Lord. Let me read a scripture to you in Proverbs chapter 22. And verse 16, you know, you say, well, I came to this room to hear, you know, a faith lifter, uplifting message and so forth. Well, you came to the right place, because Paul said, I shun not to declare unto you the full counsel of God. Yeah, so I had to tell you everything. Sometimes some things you want to hear, sometimes the things you don't want to hear, you know, but I've got a response. And I was praying. I prayed last night. I prayed this morning about it too. I said, Lord, you know, these people, they trust me to say the right thing. That's why they come here every day. You know, I don't ever, you know, I pray this all the time. I say, Lord, I don't ever, you know, because this should be, you know, people that put their trust in you. I mean, to be, being a pastor, one time I told the church, it's the greatest job in the world for me, or work. Not that I was getting paid. I don't get paid to do this work that I do at the church or here or anywhere. But I said, because the people put their faith in your hands, they come to hear you preach. So So I don't take that very lightly at all. I take it very seriously, you know. And so I spent time to ask the Lord, and I pray, Lord, I don't want to say something that's going to send them in the wrong direction, because these people are putting their trust in you, that you have. Sometimes people will ask questions on this platform. And what if I tell them the wrong thing? And that's a dangerous thing. You know, that's why the Bible says those that teach, they will have the more judgment, because they're in a dangerous situation and dangerous position. So I prayed. I said, Lord, you know, I got to, you know, rightly divide the word of God, give meat to his house in due season. But I must not say the wrong thing, you know. So I sought the Lord. The Lord gave me words of wisdom, which I'm sharing with you today. Proverbs 22 and verse 16. There are two things that this scripture calls out. You know, if you oppress the poor, you know, in order to increase riches, a lot of pastors, preachers, prophets, evangelists, or whatever, they are doing this thing, you know, oppressing people who are poor in order to increase their own riches. That's one thing. Yeah. And then when you are giving to the rich, these two things, Bible said, though, if you do these two things, you will surely come to want. That's it. It's right there in Proverbs 22 and 16. You may never have seen the scripture before, but consider it today. These two things, I call them an abomination to the Lord. Oppressing the poor to increase your riches and financing the rich. You know? And some people give to the rich because they are looking for favor. Well, Bible says if you do that, you will come to want. And if you oppress the poor to increase your riches, you will also come to want. And there are a lot of stuff, you know, that we can teach that align with wisdom, instruction, prudence, counsel, and so forth. And by the grace of God, I will be offering, a newly repackaged, you know, wisdom series in one of our underground series coming. You will probably hear, and some of you have heard it before, you hear something new. Some of you have never heard it before, you must hear it. You know, because, you know, wisdom cries without and speaking. People are not listening. And people get burnt in their lives. You know, so the summary of today's lesson is this. There is kindness, and then there is also sound judgment and wisdom. Because wisdom is justified of our children. A lot of people don't use wisdom. They just do things anyhow. You know, so consider the facts carefully. That's what the wise virgins did. Well, I only have 2 quarts of oil left. And who knows how long this journey is going to be. If I give you of my own, well, then I'm not going to make it. And they said no. Now, if you say no today, the Pentecostal churches or whoever, they'll tell you you have no love. You cannot say no, you know, you have no love. But Jesus taught some people actually said no, and Jesus called them wise. So, ladies and gentlemen, we got to use wisdom. And you need to know when to say no and when to say yes. And don't quote me wrongly. One person actually heard me say one thing one day, and they went and said no to their husband. He said, no, I never said any such thing. Now, that's what you wanted to hear. I never said, go and say no to your husband. You know, I didn't say that. And I'm not saying that here. But I am saying that there are some days and sometimes that when people are asking for help, you got to use sound judgment to know when to help and when not to. But you say, well, but the scripture says we should help. Yeah, we should. But then also the scripture says that each man should bear his own burden as well. The same scripture, just 3 verses apart, that tell you to bear one another's burdens. In Galatians 6:2, it tells you that. 3 verses later, it tells you every man should bear his own burden. So that's telling us that we need to balance this subject. And I know it's going to be an interesting discussion when we open it up for discussion. So ladies and gentlemen, now, let me say, like Paul used to say at times. I don't make myself anything, but, you know, I value this honor that you guys have given me, you know, to come here to hear me say the word of God. Now, let me say, like Paul used to say, follow me as I follow Christ. I guarantee you, these things that I'm saying are things that I also do. I don't just say it without doing it. You know, I'm a person by the grace of God that I love to help. But then I also have to use judgment, sound judgment, you know. So, and I say this, after that all said, if you are a giver, praise God. And I pray that people in this platform will be givers. If you are a giver, God will always, I've said this before, if you know how to give it away, it's a punchline. Take it as a punchline from this room today. If you can give it away, God will always make a way to get it to you. That's it. I've learned that in my life. If you are a river, there's a river that will make glad the house of God. Glory to God. If you are a river that can make glad the house of God, the streams will always, say the streams whereof will make glad. God will always produce small streams for you to make glad the house of God. I know it. Now, if you are a lake, you know, that will not give out anything, well, you know, you won't have much to give. Praise the Lord, you know. But if you know how to give, and if you know how to scatter abroad, well, if you must do it also with wisdom, you know, you got to use and do it with wisdom. Let me read to you Proverbs 11:24. I read Proverbs 11:25 before, but let me read both verses again before we close. Proverbs 11:24 says, there is that scattereth and yet increaseth. Huh? But there is also one that holds his hand, tightens, very tight-fisted, won't give anything, withholds more than is right, but it leads to poverty. Ladies and gentlemen, if you are a giver, continue to be a giver. I'm not trying to discourage anybody from giving here, but use wisdom to do it. And there's a blessing if you're a giver. I've found it to be true. It's a river, the streams whereof will make glad the house of God. And if you are that person, God will always give you more to give away. Now, why does God give us more at times to give away? Why does God give us sometimes more than what we need? Well, it is so that you can give away the excess and also keep the excess for the rainy day. Some people don't know how to keep excess for the rainy day. Well, the story of Joseph taught us that when he interpreted the dream of Pharaoh, he taught people the whole world. He saved the whole world at that time, but it was based on a simple principle. When you have excess, save 20% of it. Is that 1/5 of all the produce in the land? Make more storehouses and store these up. You know, and people don't know how to do that. It's another thing that we will teach more on later on. We have some life-changing lessons that can change your life. You need to hear and learn these things. You know, so if you know how to scatter, if you know how to use streams that are flowing out of your river to bless the house of God, God will always give you more. Now, if you are a lake that takes in but don't know how to give out, well, it will begin to stink after a while. I pray for everyone that may be a giver, that the Lord will give you wisdom to do it cheerfully. Bible says, he that giveth, let him do it cheerfully. You do it cheerfully because God loveth a cheerful giver. But there is also those that withhold more than is necessary, but they will come to want eventually. So one reason why God gives you extra is so that you can prepare for the so-called rainy day. And also extra he gives you is so that you can help others. It's not for you to go on a shopping spree. Some people, when they get a bonus or when they get extra, they'll go and squander everything. you know, just because now they have more money to spend. Why does God doesn't have to give you more than you need? He only have to give you enough. So if you have more than you need, there's a reason for it. Because someday, when you start to be in lack, you're going to cry unto God, and God say, I already gave you excess. What did you do with all that excess when I gave it to you? Yeah, you went on a shopping spree. You went on travel around the world. You spent all the money. Well, the day is coming when you would need that, and you didn't use sound judgment and wisdom. So we need to do it. A wise man will guide his affairs with discretion. We need to do it with guide our affairs with discretion, use sound judgment, but at the same time, use kindness to help those that are in need. But I'm going to pray over the room today now that God will help you to understand the two sides of this coin. Praise the Lord. You know, when it is in your power to do it, do it. Don't withhold, but do it based on all the facts. Because there are some that walk disorderly, you know, and Paul said, let those people not even eat if they're not willing to work with their hands. But, you know, yet there are some that are in true need. So, Father, I pray over this lesson in the heart of the people. We told the truth the best we could. There's more to be told on this subject, but I leave it there for time. Now, I pray that the Lord give you understanding. Paul says, I speak as unto wise men. Understand ye what I say. I pray the Lord give you understanding concerning these things. And we pray that the Lord will give us, you know, that trust among the body of Christ to be a community of sharing, not a community of deceiving, you know, waxing worse and worse. The Bible says in the last days, men will wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. It's happening. But yet, there are true need in the body of Christ. Give us discernment. Give us the grace, Lord. And there are those that you have raised up to be givers, that give cheerfully. They don't care about these things. They just give because they are gifted to give. I pray for those that God has made rivers. According to Psalm 46 verse 4, it says, there is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the house of God. I pray that there'll be those that are such rivers that they continue to issue off streams that will make water the house of God. There are people like that God has gifted. May you be such. And pray for one another. Help one another the best you can. But let's use wisdom. And let's not defraud one another. And let's use wisdom, remembering that the Lord has been gracious to us. So let's extend grace to one another as well. Father, I give you, Lord, the praise. I give you, Lord, the glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, praise the Lord. Sorry, my hand accidentally touched my mute button. I wasn't looking down at the screen. So for a minute there while I was praying, I think I might have gone blank. But I'm sure that you all heard the lesson for today. Well, it's an interesting lesson. We try to balance it. Well, I'm going to throw it out for discussions now. You know, I'm sure many people would have something to say. If you have something to say or ask, feel free to do so. But let's keep our shares, you know, to a minimum, considering that there may be others. And if we don't finish sharing it today, we'll come back tomorrow and share some more. Praise the Lord. So, that's the lesson today. What say ye concerning these things? Good morning. Good afternoon. God bless you. I'm going to yield my mic here. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Amen. Good morning. If you permit me, Pastor Yatta, I'll just go first here. And I'll try to keep it quick. Hope to not be long, because like you said, this is a powerful topic. Thank you for bringing it forth. So, yeah, I love this kindness and sound judgment, right? Wisdom. And I wanted to I guess, address the topic from the lens of, you know, I think one of the ways we can help people, which I believe you've alluded to it and you talked about it, right? You know, in the Gospels, when Jesus was sharing parables, right? He would give a parable, and then you'd see in some instances, it's, you know, the disciples would say, what does this mean? Right? He would then go on to give them some further, deeper insight. He's like, do you not understand this? Right? So I think like one of the ways that we can help people is we can try to provide further insight. We can try to just bring more robust meaning to a situation, right? Or for an example, right? You know, I can ask you, Pasiato, I said, you know, what are some of your hobbies? What are some things that you like to do? Some of your interests, right? And then my hope is that you would share those things with me. And then maybe I can use that information to benefit you, right? So a personal story, right, that we're actively dealing with, right? And I've brought it here a couple times, right? Just, you know, regarding my family. You know, so you all know we have two children, right? Our daughter, she's going to be 2 next month. Our son, he'll be 1 in March, right? And glory be to God for them. They're so beautiful, right? They're growing well. And, you know, my mom, she's a new grandmother, right? She's excited. She loves them, right? And I just thank God for her life. And, you know, so we had a conversation with my mom yesterday, brief conversation. And my mom was in Nigeria. She just got back from Nigeria this past weekend on Saturday. And she had mentioned, you know, I'm going to stop by the house on Thursday, which is tomorrow, right? Today is Wednesday. So like, I'll stop by the house tomorrow. I want to see the kids. I'll resume work on Friday. Right? So, you know, in the moment, as we were talking to her, we didn't say much of it. We didn't think much of it. Right. And just some kind of like context, right? You know, we've had some conversations with my mom in the past where, you know, we say, mom, like, you want to come to the home? We welcome you to our home. We welcome you to our home. We welcome you to our home. Come and see your grandchildren, right? You know, all we ask is that work with us, right? You know, Pasiato, I work from home, right? Sometimes I go into the office. Thank God I have a very flexible job. I can go in at 10 a.m. I can come back by 12. I can go in pretty much whenever I please. Thank God. Right. And I pray that he continues to favor me in that way. Right. You know, so as I was even planning out this week, I said, maybe I'll go in on Thursday. I'll just go and show face. Right. So, you know, I've had conversations with my mom. I said, mom, like, just, hey, say, hey, and are you guys free on Thursday? Are you available? Right? As opposed to, oh, I'm coming to the house, right? So I guess the question and what I want us to, maybe you guys help me consider, right? The Bible says that there's safety in a multitude of counsel, right? I'm also looking to you, Pasiato and Mami Ebon, right? As like our seasoned, you know, couple here, right? Like, this morning, I was led to call my mom, my wife and I, Marianne. We prayed early this morning after I now call my mom later on to pray with her about my brother's situation, right? So then after we prayed, she reminded me in her way, I'm coming tomorrow, right? I didn't say anything again, okay? Because in my mind, I'm like, okay, I'm willing to forgo. Sometimes you just have to. You have to exercise wisdom, right, Pasiato? It's not every battle that you'll jump on. So I've just been praying after I got off the phone with him. I'm like, Lord, like, this thing is disturbing me, right? I need wisdom in this thing, right? And I know that every shoe doesn't fit everyone, right? Everyone's situation is different, right? I'm like, do I go and tell my mom, mom, we love that you're coming. We're excited. However, I had planned to go to the office. But now this one that you say you're coming, I have to readjust my schedule. You understand? you know, I don't want to be nasty, right? I feel like I've tried to be respectful, right? And honor her in this thing. But, you know, even to the point now, it's like the story on the street is, oh, that we're restricting my mom, right? But I feel like if I don't say something to her, I won't be helping her in that way to understand what it is that, like I said, Pasiato, what do you like, right? If I don't say anything, how will she know what we like or what we don't like, right? But, you know, it's unfortunately, it's gotten to a point where it's like, quote unquote, we're restrictive, quote unquote, we're asking her to ask us for permission, right? And I just wanted to swing it that way, right? You know, I believe that sometimes we have to bring something to someone's attention so that they can, we can help them understand, you know, our perspective, where we're coming from, right? You know, like, Pasiato, have you dealt with stuff like this before, right? Like, do I need to say something all the time? You know what I mean? But yeah, that's what I wanted to share. Hopefully I made sense. I'll yield the mic. Thank you all. All right. Much love.
You made sense, but I was kind of laughing and giggling. And so, why don't you just tell your mom I'm not going to be home tomorrow or whatever? I don't understand what the thing is. For me, you know, I'm a forthright person. If it was me, I would have just told her, oh no, tomorrow is not a good day. We're not going to be home. I'm going to the office, whatever. And you come on such a day. I mean, it's, you know, I don't know. You know, I don't think that should be so hard, you know, to say. And you're right. I mean, if you don't say, you know, it's the same thing in all relationships we have. You know, if somebody is doing something that you don't like and you don't tell them, they might just continue to do it, but they probably didn't even know that the thing bothers you. But if you don't say anything, then it's on you, you know. So, I mean, I don't know why you just didn't tell your mom that, you know, it's just not going to be home tomorrow. We've already planned this and that. You come in a different day. Now, people in different cultures like Nigeria, come from Nigeria, but it looks like your mom's living here in the U.S. now or whatever. So she should probably figure out the American culture. You can't just go to somebody's home here in America. You know, you got to call ahead. You got to make sure it works for them and so forth. Now, we know that, I know that we who are Nigerian parents, I'm a Nigerian parent, you know, but I have grown kids, you know, my kids are grown. They have kids of their own. They're not babies anymore. You know, I mean, but as a Nigerian parent, sometimes we just like to bully our kids, you know, and so forth. You know, maybe Africans in general, just tell them whatever and they can't say anything. But that's not the case in today's culture, you know. Now, children must honor their parents. Parents should not provoke their children either. I mean, we have to work together, you know. But I say, I mean, you could say to your mom without, there's nothing to be, you know, I mean, it should not be anything grievous at all. Say, oh, you know, we're not going to be home on Thursday. But now she said it twice and you haven't said anything. If you say it now, it's kind of like an afterthought. You know, you should have just said it the first time. Yeah, that would be my take on it. First moment you heard that she's coming, say, oh, Thursday? Did you say Thursday? Say, yeah. Oh, no, that's not a good day. That's the day I'm going to the office this Sunday. Can we make it some other day? And that would be the end of it. You know, but if you left it, she has said it twice. You haven't said anything. Now, if you go say it again, then it becomes, you know, an afterthought. You know, so maybe in this case, just make adjustments. But I would recommend next time you just say it right away. I mean, if it was a friend of yours that said that, you would have probably thought, oh, that's not a good day. I'm going to the office on that day. Can we make it Saturday or Sunday or whatever day? And I think you can talk to your mom the same way. Again, not knowing, you know, if there's any vitriolic situation there, but nonetheless, it, just like you said with your own mom, it's on you to tell them what you want and don't want. But if they invite themselves once, twice, three times, you don't say anything, then you go say it afterwards, it doesn't look good. You should just have said it right away. As soon as they said it, say, oh, that's not actually a good day because I'm not going to be home. I don't think it would be such a bad thing. And if they still insist on coming, if you're not going to be home, then they meet the empty house. And that's on them, because you already told them, you know. So, that's my take on it. But I want to pray for you and your mom and that situation. I pray, Lord, for Brother Eno, his wife, and for Brother Eno's mom and the children that are in the mix. The mother loves her grandchildren. She wants to, you know, and there may not be quite an understanding flowing there. I pray that the understanding will flow. There will be, you know, consideration on both sides. And God will give our brother the wisdom, his wife also, to deal with their parents and parents-in-laws. Father, we thank you and we give you praise and give you glory. And, you know, situation is actually not that bad. I pray that we will not allow the devil to take advantage of something so simple and to, you know, cause it to be something else. And it's just a simple thing. Let's use wisdom and keep it simple and not allow the devil to make, you know, a mountain out of a molehill. Give you, Lord, the praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Brother Eno, thanks for sharing and thanks for being open.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Good morning. Good afternoon. Wonderful day. Wonderful lesson. Thank you again on this topic of, you know, wisdom, kindness, sound judgment, and helping others, and all the stories that we've learned today. Thank you for reminding us about all this. Also, I want to pinch in, say something about Brother Eno's question, and the answer that you gave is very good. However, I think it's there's nothing wrong with, even after the fact, you say, oh, something came up, I have to go to work this Thursday. Is there any way you can arrange to come on a day that I'll be home, maybe Saturday? That would be good for me, so that I can see you and you can play with the kids and everything like that. There's nothing wrong with that. Unless she takes it some in the wrong way. I think if something comes after the fact, that has happened to me even with my kids. If I try to go to them, we work out a plan and say, when do you want us me to come or this or that? And which I normally really don't go anyway because I'm busy in my own house and most of the time. Actually, I just came from my son's and house, but there's a purpose. That was something that we were invited to come over to do. So that's a different situation in which we were invited to come. However, I stayed in the house. I wanted to. I had an option to have stayed in a hotel with my daughter, or stay in a Airbnb with my other daughter, or something like that, but I chose that I wanted to stay with them, in their house. So, and I, you know, it was just for a few days, you know, before I went to the hotel with my daughter the last night so we can travel together. So, and I just determined myself that when I go there, you know, I tried not to, but there's some things I couldn't keep my mouth shut. Like, you know, they didn't lock their door. And I was like, ah, you didn't lock your door? Because when we came in, we went right in through the garage. At the door through the garage, we just went right in. And I saw that they didn't open the door with a key or anything. And then when we were leaving, they just left the door unlocked. And I said, ah, you didn't lock your door? So I just, they said, no, we don't lock that. So I kind of get the message that it's none of my business. So I just kept quiet. Then, sometimes it's so difficult as mothers to see it. They say, oh, this happened. My older son, when he just bought his house, he was single then. He wasn't married. And it was, you know, he wasn't locking his door as he should. And all of a sudden, thieves came in there and robbed him, took everything, all his television. They took It took so many things out of the house. So we had to go there and after the fact, you know, had to advise him what to do, how to lock the door, to put something behind, you know, the sliding door, how to put something behind it. You must always, if you have a sliding door, always have a stick behind it so that somebody cannot open it from the outside. So we had to tell him after the fact, but at that time it was too late. They have taken so many things out of his house. I was thinking, what if I had spoken at the beginning, you know, and say, hey, there's some precaution here. Let's be careful. Make sure you lock your door and so on, because moving out for the first time out of your parents' house and buying your own home, and you don't really know all the safety items to do and so on. And I felt bad that, oh, I should have told him before this happened. But I was feeling like, let me mind my business and so on. But now this had happened. So anyway, that story came to my head when I went to my young son's house. And I saw that they were not locking their door. I didn't want them to learn the way that my other son did. And thieves came to his house and robbed him. So I said, you know what? I'm going to keep my mouth shut. When I told them, and I said, oh yeah, we locked the door. Oh yeah. And I saw that the answer was very smart and everything. I said, oh, okay. I will just try to mind my business here. So what am I saying is that it's so hard for mothers, and when you go to your children's home and you see what they're doing, just to keep quiet and mind your business, or see them do the same error that could cause them harm or regrets in the future, you ought to say something and say, oh, you know, or maybe tell them a story, or go give them wisdom of what story to tell them, you know, that to put the fear of God in them and let them do the right thing. So I was just saying that, you know, you could have actually told her that, yeah, Thursday is not a good day. Let's think of another day that we can both work together and so on and so forth. That's what I just wanted to say. God bless you. Amen.
I will meet amen, you. Amen. Thank you, Lady Evan, for that. Actually, that is so true. I mean, things do come up even after the fact. So the fact that you didn't say it initially could have been that situation did not exist at the time, you know, but if, you know, something came up and you just say it and then move on. The key thing is, you know, let's not allow something simple, you know, the devil take advantage of and make something out of it. I mean, this should be a simple thing. The mom wants to visit. It's not convenient. It's not convenient. You say it when you knew it, or later on if you know it, what Lady Evan is saying, or even if you realize later that you should have said something, you can still say something. And rather than, you know, let that thing fester into some bitterness and so forth, you know, just say something that, actually, you know, I just remembered I got to go to the office or whatever. I didn't say this earlier, but, you know, yeah, if that's not going to be a good day, can we make it another day? And just move on. You know, Bible say endeavoring to keep, you know, unity, the bond of peace and so forth. You have to endeavor to do whatever, you know, calls for peace. Praise the Lord. All right. Thank you, Lady Evan, for that. Let me give others. Let's move on to some other aspects of this discussion. Thank you again, Brother Anna and Lady Evan for that. Praise the Lord. Anybody else? I want to say something to Sister Esther. I see that you are now here. You did ask me a question in the room yesterday. I don't know what it was about, because, you know, you kind of spoke, you know, in a wise way, you know, but, you know, I'm reflecting on my answer to that question. I thought, well, you know, you just said it one way, you know, how about the other way as well? So I prayed and I said, Lord, it's difficult, but people expect me to say the right thing all the time. That's why they ask me these things. I pray that I will not say the wrong thing, you know, and give people the wrong advice. But that's so bad if you do that. That's what Solomon was praying. He said, Lord, I pray, you know, how can I advise and lead this your people? Give me wisdom. So as the more I thought about it, you know, then, you know, the Lord put in my heart to come here and just share this topic today. Now, I don't know what she was talking about, and I'm not being anything like this at all, but she did say something about, you know, somebody has a history, and then he asked for something, what should I do, and so forth. You know, so, you know, the summary of today's lesson is, you know, I'm revising my answer from yesterday. You know, as I did say yesterday, well, you know, I thought you said, well, the Lord or the Holy Spirit or something. And I said, don't say something. You know, they're telling you to just, why don't you just do it? So that's why I answered it that way. But today I gave a more rounded answer. You know, before we do something, we should leap well before, I mean, look well before you leap is my answer today. And I think that today is a better answer because, you know, give it from both sides. Yes, we should help people when they ask for help if it's in our power of our hand to do it. I quoted that scripture yesterday. But sometimes people have a history of walking disorderly as well. So I brought that scripture out in 2 Thessalonians today. So we should, you know, strike a balance and use sound judgment and wisdom. Sometimes it might be okay to say no, given the circumstances. But Jesus told the story of those that said no. You know, so it all depends on the situation that we are facing, the situation at hand. So praise the Lord. Just wanted to level set on that. All right.
Can I speak, Daddy?
Yeah, please. Go ahead.
Okay, sir. Good morning, good afternoon, everybody in the room. I bless the Lord. I want to start first with Brother Eno. Daddy made a prayer, and I picked on that prayer, you know, along the line. Daddy said, whatever may be the misunderstanding or whatever, that the Lord will grant favor or way of handling that very situation. And I thank God that mommy came in and sort of balanced it. Because like we said, every one of us, we are children of God, we have the mind of Christ. And it's going in the line of this teaching that we should be wise in everything we are doing. And also, and that's one of the reasons I keep on praying for our loved ones, our siblings, our mothers, our extended families, for every one of them to come to the knowledge of Christ just like we are, so that everybody is walking on the same platform. You know, I watched this Mount Zion film, this Abejoye series, you know, from the series of the film, I've been following it. The wife of the king, you know, showed like she's a child of God, that she accepted Christ and all the rest of them. But unfortunately, she was hit, you know, behind the scene when the bad man was trying to get at the king, so that to test the power of God or whatever. And unfortunately, the woman died, the Olori died in that film. And then the husband was like, but this woman gave me impression that she's a child of God or something like that. How come? So where I'm coming from is that it's just lining up with what we are discussing on how to help. Like after that, he gave that answer yesterday, I still kept on, you know, going back to reflect on it. And my heart was at peace because he said, if the Lord says, and I'm still watching it, because word of God says, Jesus, despite everything, really forgave us, which I have done in looking at the situation that's surrounding me concerning that question. And exactly the question I asked, anyway, that has also answered in a way. The body of Christ, the Bible says in the house of the king, there are so many vessels, and wood was mentioned. And how do we treat such vessels in the house of God? And also start understanding a little bit that with wisdom, with our relationship with God, at every point of our walk with other members of the body of Christ, God will keep on giving us the strength to be, because he knows my ability, how much I can endure. He knows the ability, how much another person can endure. So every one of us, God gave us the length of ability to be able to carry
whatever we want to carry, and then still meet the standard of the master, because Jesus will be supposed to be our perfect example. He knows our weaknesses, he knows our struggles, he knows our sincerity, he knows everything about us, you know, and when we are open to him, he will not leave us in dark, in darkness concerning anything, you know. I want to bless God for the way the whole thing is going, and also want to pray, like I said, that such maybe individuals and all that, maybe think they have smarts, they want to take or do advantage of anybody and all that. I still keep on praying for an opportunity, you know, for the person to understand what it means to be a child of God and not keep on taking on due advantage of the children of God, probably because of their vulnerable now, or they are trying to also meet what is expected of them in the body of Christ. I really bless God for this topic. I'm going to go back because I didn't join on time. We went for my grandson's routine weekly, a 2-week hospital visit, you know, to check on his growth and all that. So I'll still go back to listen to it from the beginning. But the little I met, by the grace of God, I'm so happy that this topic, that God will bless you. God will bless. This is, I don't know how to say it. This is like building a heritage, an heritage that will transcend into eternity, and being done from a sincere heart and based on the word of God, looking at it, all the, you know, pros and cons. I just thank God for your life, and I pray the Lord will keep on expanding this wisdom, you know, because we need it at this time. We need it at this time in the body of Christ. We need it, particularly those that are sold out. You know, when I say sold out to a fault. Let me use that word. Sold out to a fault. Just to go on this walk and bring us to perfection that the Lord himself is expecting of us. And at the same time, fulfill, you know, our role as kingdom ambassadors. Anywhere we are, that's the expression that Jesus gave to Nathaniel when he said, "Oh, I saw you under the tree, an Israelite indeed, in whom there is no guile." And that is what, you know, that we pray that the Lord will make us, because at times there are some things that we also are harboring, maybe we do not know. We just keep on, that the Holy Spirit will keep on exposing, you know, continuing to sort of renew us. And I thank God this platform is really doing that, because it makes everyone like me, I do go back at times, to go and reflect. God bless you, sir. And Breno, we'll keep on praying for you. The Lord will give you wisdom, you know, to be able to handle everything. I know there are some things you could not say, but the Lord has gone ahead of you because of his sincere heart, and you have shared it. You'll be surprised how God is going to do it. And to make every one of us have a people that are, yes, maybe they've heard about the Lord through us as their children or extended family and all that, but, you know, because of environment, because of pressure and all that, they still want to do some certain things, yeah, instead of trusting God, like we have made up our minds to trust God. God will give you a balance, like we have prayed. The Holy Spirit will lead you. God bless you. Thank you, Daddy. I'll yield my mic.
Amen, amen, amen. Thank you so much, Sister Esther, and I thank you for your prayer. Yes, indeed, we need wisdom, those of us who are in leadership. Be not ye many teachers and rabbis, Jesus said, and the scripture says, because, you know, we might receive a greater condemnation if you are not careful. So it's a very, very delicate thing, especially when somebody asks you a question and you try to give advice. It's very, very delicate. You know, you got to be very careful what you say. You know, so I thank God that you see it that way. We're trying to give a more rounded view of the situation. Give it on both sides. She said pros and cons. That's true. We've got to show both sides, you know, what the scripture commands us to do, and even other wisdom that the scripture gives us. Be wise as serpents, but harmless as doves. You know, so sometimes we got to be wise, but at the same time, harmless. Sometimes we got to be harmless, but not naive. You know, you got to use wisdom, you know, understanding. Praise the Lord. So Thank you, Sister Esther. Beautiful, beautiful share this morning. Praise the Lord. All right. Well, she said she got to go back and listen. Well, by the grace of God, let me take this point to introduce everybody to our new website. Sermons are being loaded to the website. It is already current as of yesterday. Today's will be loaded sometime today. And so in the meantime, you can listen to the replay if it's not yet there on Clubhouse. Replays on Clubhouse will usually be available maybe 10 minutes or so after the house closes. But it takes us time to load it on the website when I have time, because first we have to extract the message, edit it, and all of that, make sure you know it's correct as it is, and then put it out there, cut out any interruptions and all that. It takes a while to get around to doing that. But the website also features, you know, a great way for you to search through the messages that have been provided here. People are enjoying it. So we invite you to check it out, wwwgintl.org. Look for the audio summons, and it will bless your heart. Praise the Lord. Thank you again for sharing. All right. Anyone else? I see that this can be a lively discussion. So, if you want to share, go ahead.
Good morning, sir. Good morning, ma'am. Good morning, everyone, and good afternoon. Indeed, a prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself. The aspect of kindness and the aspect of prudence, the aspect of discretion and sound judgment. It's really practical Christian living. That's the way I see the topic and the message today. Practical Christian living, because sometimes when one gets hit, you give in the integrity of your heart. And then you find out, just like Pastor Yato said, that there are some rules or lies around the asking or the request. It causes distrust. And the area where I always fear most is forgiving. Forgiveness, because it is key. And the bottom line is, for a child of God, no matter what confronts you, the Bible says we should forgive. And that takes the grace of God and asking God to help. Other things that I have seen as well is the aspect of, you might be hit first time, you might be hit second time, but definitely one won't be hit the third time. And that tends to keep an arm's length in the aspect of the relationship with the person. And also, in gathering information, one has to look at the person, her life, his life. How has the relationship between me and the person had been over time? Has the person been truthful? Is he or she a straightforward person? Is her word yea and always yea and truthful? Or you find it changing over and over again? This has been a situation that helped me in the past, and also keep helping me to analyze every word. It helped to analyze every word that emanated from such a person. And the bit about it also, which I fear and I get worried about, is I always ask God, Lord, help me, so that I don't have a suspicious spirit as well. a suspicious spirit where I shouldn't, in the aspect of analyzing the words, analyzing the actions, and analyzing what that particular person meant or where he or she is going. Because some can be cunning, some can be quite crafty. What they do is they try to elicit or appeal to one's emotions. Where someone comes in and tells you, oh, the roof is dropping, all these are happening, everything about it is not going right. Also, one of the things I've learned is, Lord, what should I do? Especially where I've known the person. What should I do? And in some cases, or in most cases, the Lord, sometimes he might be quiet. Sometimes he will tell everything you need to know. And sometimes where he's quiet and later down the lane, he might now just give a word. And that is the area that normally bothers me. The aspect of not being hasty in taking action. Where God is silent and is not talking at the material moment, at the spot on moment, it is for me to also hold the reins of my emotions and hold on till I hear from him. These are part of the things that I've learned and I'm learning because I'm not there at all. I'm not there at all because sometimes the emotions carried away by that story, we tend sometimes to jump hastily. We do what we have to do, or what we did, what we would have waited for God to talk to us. Other things I have seen is the fact that some believe, just like Pastor Yato said, that tree is really growing in the garden. It's a rule that when they ask, you must have it. And what I do is point them to the Lord. And like I always say, it is only God that is sufficient. No man, nobody, nothing else. It is only God that is sufficient. I normally send such texts and say, come. It is only God that is sufficient. You ask for it and you believe it has to be given now. Where I don't have it, it is only God that has unlimited resources. And what I see about such people is the fact that they look at you and not God. God the source of the resources. God the only one that gives unlimitedly. The one that gives and nothing else can be short of what you requested. And such, it is obligatory for us to point them to the Lord. To point them and let them see that you need to trust the Lord and not the human element. Then the other bit is the fact that some also, they take and take and take because they feel or they have the habit. Not because they are in want, but because they have the habit. And also, through the relationship over time, I have learned to know how to deal with such instances. These are some of the things I've learned and I'm still learning and I'm asking God for wisdom. But the area that always bothers me most is, Lord, you said we should forgive. Many, many times. And I'm asking, Lord, even where they don't ask for forgiveness, give me that ability to lay it down and say, Lord, heal my heart. Give me that forgiving spirit. I reject every form of bitterness and teach me how to go. I'm asking for this prayer for each and every one of us. Because, like it has been said, offenses must come. Offenses will happen. But the Bible says we should forgive. I'll yield my mic. And thank you, sir, for the practical Christianity message. Because that's the way I see it. That the Lord will help each and every one of us. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Sister Mary. At this time, Pastor has passed on over to me because it's not available. So I will just be moderating the room from going on from here. Thank you so much for your share this morning concerning the situation and concerning this topic, you know, that you're discussing this morning. Just like we said, we are not God. We are not God. We should allow, people should look on to God for their provision. And we are advised to help one another to do this and do that. But when we are being taken advantage of, and we should be able to restrain and say no when it is necessary to say no. And turn them over to God. Pray with them. But if they are cold, yeah, give them a jacket, all right. But when they want to take advantage of you, then you have to be sensitive at that point. And there's some people that you, just like you said, they have the habit. This is what they do. They have a habit of going about and doing these things all over the place and taking advantage of people. So if we know that, even though you have not met someone, you know, there's so many people that I may not have met in person, but by their action, I could tell that this person is not straightforward. This person is just looking for someone to take advantage of us. So we have to now be careful in dealing with such a person. And you will see a lot of that, you know, especially with people. What I actually do with people that do with me, especially family members that do that with me, I just don't communicate with them anymore. Because it's not that I keep malice with them. If you call me, if you lie to me, basically, in order to get something from me, then you don't have my interest at heart, you know, at all. If you lie to me and say, this, and I found out that it's a lie, and then you keep doing it, I have to protect myself. I have to protect myself by cutting off or something. I don't think God would be mad at me that I cut off myself from such people, because I'm not going to allow them to, just use me and abuse me. These people have, if they don't have your interest at heart, if they don't have any, all they're looking for is their own, how to enrich themselves, how to do that, then, you know, what are you looking for? What are you looking for there? So, you pray with them, you help them the best you can, and when you say that these people are not straightforward, they manipulate you, then it's time to, you know, cut off that relationship and say, no, I can't continue like this, with this person. And even though you forgive them, you said, yeah, the Lord said we should call forgive them. But we cannot get hurt all the time. We cannot put ourselves in a position where we're being hurt all the time. Because some of these people, they really don't care. They don't care if they hurt you or not. They just want want what they want from you. And as soon as they get it, they move on to the next person. And that's their job. That's their, I mean, they do anything to, I've had people, I know people in that category, because I used to be such that believe everybody and, just, I would say gullible, in every area. And then after you get beaten many times, then you're going to wise up, you know, wise up and say, hey, you know, that different categories of people. Some people are takers. Some people are givers. And they forgot that the Bible said it is more blessed to give than to receive. You know, and put yourself in a position as a giver rather than being on the receiving end all the time. And although not all of us are going to be able to be in that position or be givers all the time, you know, sometimes we're going to be also receivers, you know. God, we have a plan. We have this lesson today, how it is more blessed, how we should not close our eyes when we see someone in need. We should try to help them as much as we can, you know. And also to make sure that especially people that are related to us, that we know their need, let us not close our eyes to them. Let us help them. Especially to the household of faith, and also because we should help those that are in the house of faith first, and also especially even our own family. You know, I'm talking about family now. Let's say your brother, your sister, your child is in trouble, and we should go all out to help them. And we are aware of them. We know that it's not their nature to be asking you for anything. But if they, for any reason, call you up and say, oh, mom or dad, I'm in this situation, I need your help, then we should stand up and help them. Because they normally don't do that. They normally don't come around and say, oh, mom, dad, I need this, I need that. They don't. But if they find themselves that they cannot help themselves and they reach out to you and say, hey, mom, hey, dad, or my sister or my brother, I need this kind of help, then we should try to help them, and so on and so forth. And sometimes people will want to you to bring them to your house and say, oh, can I come and stay in your house because I don't have a place to stay, and so on and so forth. And you know that this person, you've had a history with them, and so on and so forth. You have to really pray. You have to really pray about it and say, Lord, how should I go about this? How should I do this? How can I help this person from afar off, you know, without bringing this person to my house? How can I either help them to get a place and help them to pay their rent or whatever that you can do in order to avoid your experience that you've had in the past with them? So, I will just say that for now. And, thank you again, Sister Mary, for your contribution. God bless you. Anybody else have anything else to say about the topic we're talking about here? Kindness, sound judgment, and helping others. Wisdom. That's the topic of today. Does anybody have any experience that they want to share with us?
Praise the Lord.
Okay, go ahead.
Hallelujah. Good morning, Pastor. Good morning, Honorable. Good morning, everyone. Good afternoon. For truth, God is good. I always pray for my pastor. He brings out things that are relevant to our situation. Everyday study, everyday lesson. God bless you, Daddy. This wisdom that coming from above and the understanding of his word, that you should not go hurting yourself and hurting others. It's really a great lesson for everyone to learn. I remember one time a pastor came to my husband that I have a need. He's called it business. When he comes, it's great. He's in the house. you know, government house. This way, help them as pastor. My husband was not even having the money. He told him, he said, you can go and borrow. Because that's what many people tell you these days. Go and borrow. They deserve will not borrow, but they ask you to borrow. Really, he went, took this money for him. When the time comes to pay, disappeared. We're chasing him, calling him, no answer. When he answer, he will not even, it's like, what is it? What do you want? My husband, we were praying, we prayed and prayed. It was not like he's getting offended because where he borrowed the money, he's paying interest on it. You are a man of God, you come. So he reported it to a fellow pastor. I think, let me cut the story short, he got half of it. So really, thank you for giving us this words of exhortation and admonition. I have a friend right now who, when I visited, even when the father passed, the first thing called me, he didn't even say, how are your children, how is your family, how is your job? That was her question. My job is fine. Say her father passed, that she needs me now. I should bring this and that and that. I said, okay, I'll give her the little I have, if I'm even wanting to give to her. But this time around, when I came, after many, many years, I went to Nigeria. She called me. She said, my in-laws or our daddy's Thanksgiving and birthday that she would like to attend. I said, that's fine. I will send you the invite. The invitation is there. You can see it. It's on everywhere. He said, now she, as it is, I should give her money for transportation. What do you mean? If you want to attend party, you come. So when I said that, she grew annoyed. She tested me. She said, what? Because I said, give me 20,000. What is 20,000? What is that? It's nothing. Do you know how much I'm receiving? Do you know what it is? I'm an accountant. I kept her quiet. When she's done, I sent her the invitation. She came. She passed a night in my house before that because we're a childhood friend. I don't find that she wants to exploit me on all this, but I don't mind. I pull out money that she will be dazed. I gave it to her. Oh, thank you. I know what you can do. I said, you better have pour out words on me. She said so many things. I said, okay. Now, she's calling me again. You that said 20,000 is nothing. You are calling me to do what? And you know, this time, this is Christmas. I need some money. I said, you don't know what you are doing. When I came, what did you give me? Because this love is give and take. If you are giving me anything, I will know you really love me. But I found that you want to be taken from me. You never give me anything. What I will do, I will cut you out. I will block you. I told her, and I already blocked her. It's not a sin on me. So many people like Mommy Abu said, they want to exploit you. They want to get you. They want to get from you when they have. They seem needless. It's not that they don't have. But they want you. They want to be bigger than you. And that's the way I look at it. That is why they always need yours, even when they have theirs. So we really need wisdom. Someone asked you for borrow. You want $100. You have 20 that you can easily give out without no pain on it. Even when it does not pay, you will not feel it. Give it out instead of borrowing to give. No. We don't need to borrow and give to such person. Give what you have, what you think. If he did not bring it back, he will not pay you. Give it out. That's what I'm using now. That's it. Because many took advantage of it. They say, my brother-in-law freedom. It's a philanthropist, even now. Yes. But they have never given to us. But they will come and borrow from me. Tomorrow, next a week, I will pay you. Just give me now. At the end, give me my money. They will say, all the money you get from freedom is free, everything free. You are enjoying a low. This is my portion. You never told me you want to get money from me freely, but you have using your craftiness to get it. I'm not one, not two, not three. And me, I'm just pulling myself, managing myself, making my children okay by the power of God. Not that I have the strength or the power. I was just a teacher. How much a teacher any? But they use that advantage to really ruin me and get those things. I never knew, but Pastor is telling us today, get wisdom when it's necessary. Get and spend prudently so that you not run into problem. He told us before, a woman, they cajole her, you know, give me, she brought her money to pay her rent to the house, to church, to pastor. And when it's time to pay, nothing. She's not begging. Hey, they want to pull me out of my house. I gave all my this. You will use wisdom. Use wisdom. God give you head. God give you ability to end this wealth. And the same God is the one ruling, who will take care of you and your money and whatever you have. Not only money. You have to give out one. And I realized of recent, among the relations, you that is giving, you are their target. Those who don't give, they don't even hate them. They love them. And maybe it does not have. But if you have given one, two, three, you are the one giving every month. You never give this month. You are the enemy. So just get that one now. If you are fond of giving, only one day you have not given, enemy has come. In your family circle, it may not be outside. The outside doesn't look at it like that. But within the family, that's what happened. God really blessed my pastor, telling us things how to live life, that you don't have any enemy, that you go back and be, you have a resentment and all those things. And it's wise to know all those good things that we have to accommodate. Many people, they have strength to walk, they don't want to walk because they depend on you. Many don't have power to walk, they don't have the knowledge to do it. They depend on you. But by the time you tell them, teach them how to fish, they are great. It's okay. But you teach some people how to fish, they don't want to. What do you do in that sense? So God give us wisdom and power and all these things. Good health. You pray for good health. Pray for our children that the enemy will not use them and dump. And they will not do those things that God will not like. And they will not have that bitter mind. They will learn to forgive. Every time, whatever happens, forgive. Forgiveness is number one. And another thing, obedience. God said we should forgive. We should obey God's voice. And be forgiven as God himself has forgiven you all your sins. Praise the Lord. I give my mind.
Amen. Thank you, Sister Veronica. Indeed, you are speaking well today. Thank that the Lord has taught you wisdom, how to deal with all those people. And you have said it right, especially in the family. The people that you give something regularly, if you do the month you missed it or you're late, you become their enemy and so on. I can attest to that. So God bless you so much for your input today. We appreciate you. I just want to recognize, I could see that your other daughter, Janelle, is here. I don't know whether she has come before. Welcome to the rooms, Janelle. God bless you. And also, our host, Osei or something. Welcome.
So sad.
No. I know Osei. Okay. I'm just saying the people at the bottom. He said it's host, H-O-S-E, host. So welcome, host, to the house. And welcome, Brian. Brian came right from the beginning. Welcome, Brian. Rigway, we appreciate you staying right from the beginning to the end. We want to encourage you to join the house at the top. I posted the house, join wisdom, kindness, or so on. Join the house. Yeah, today's room. But join this Walking with God, please. Join the Walking with God room and be a part of us so that we don't have I see you as a visitor here. So God bless you for being here. Thank you, Brother Shadrach, Sister Jacqueline, Sister Sources, Crystal, Sister Nady, Sister Olusheyi, Sister Yutayo, Sister Rita, Sister Alice. Thank you for being consistent. You've been coming since the first day you came. We were about the first person to come in today. God bless you, Brother Oke, Dara Darani, this Ope, and Sister Grace. Thank you for being here. Mr. Esther, Sister Otitoju, Brother Charles, Sister Julius, Brother Victor, Sister Looney Fest, Sister Brother Eno. Thank you for your contribution of today and the topic. We pray that the Lord give you wisdom in dealing with every situation that comes your way. Sister Lorraine, Sister Joker, Sister Veronica, powerful, powerful share today. Sister Jane, Sister Obi, Sister Nina, Sister Nkechi, Sister Mary, Sister Titilayo, God bless you. Thank you for being here. And my dear husband, Pastor Yato, I know he's getting ready. And we appreciate everyone. The day is fast spent. If you have anything else to contribute, you might have to wait till tomorrow. It's a good topic. We might have to continue. I could see that it's put part one there. So possibly tomorrow will be part two and so on and so forth. So it's been a wonderful day for all of us to be here, to be able to share this wisdom one with another. And may the Lord help us, give us the grace to help those who are poor indeed, that those that need help. We pray. And those who have to give us discerning spirit, to be able to discern those who are out there to enrich their pocket or to take advantage of us and to do, some of them even, they use you and they abuse you. We pray that we will not be part of those people's trick and all the plan that they have in Jesus' name. So I'm just going to pray us out and then we'll come back tomorrow. Our Father and our God, we thank you again for this time of fellowship, one with another. We thank you, Lord, that you have been in our conversation and you will help us, oh Lord, as we think upon all these things that we have talked about today. Give us wisdom in dealing with people. Give us wisdom in accommodating those who are in need. Give us wisdom in how we give, Lord, that we'll give to the right people that needs it. Lord, thank you, Lord, to be able to discern and to know those who are able to come in to exploit us so that we can avoid them in the name of Jesus. We give you all the glory and all the honor, all the majesty. Let it be ascribed to your name. In Jesus' mighty name, I pray. Amen. All right. Yes, so we'll be going. We'll be leaving the room right now. And in the count of five, counting backwards, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. The room is ended. Bye-bye, everyone.